You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, bottoms. My name is Keen, and you're listening to Sissy That Pod, your favorite RuPaul's reaction podcast. And today we are getting into the nuts and bolts of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15, the 50-50 interview challenge with the wonderful Bombay, contestant on Drag Race Canada Season 3. If you haven't seen that season, there will be some minor spoilers in this episode regarding that season, but it's a brilliant season, so don't worry too much if it's a bit spoiled for you. Erin's away at a wedding this week, so it's just me and Bombay. Let's get into it. Bombay, thank you so much for joining me here on Sissy That Pod. How are you keeping, and how is life post-Canada Season 3?
Hi, it's me, Bombay from TV. Now available on podcasts as well. I'm great. I'm exhausted. I don't want to get onto another airplane for at least another month, but that's not happening. But yeah.
Well, you're an international queen now.
I know. And the expectations are wild. So I'm just traveling. I've made best friends with a security guard at Toronto Pearson in the airport. Every time I go, I'm like, hi, it's me again, the homosexual with wigs. They go through your bags and they just, I'm like, yeah, it's me. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
No problem. You're welcome. I have to say, watching Canada Season 3, and we discussed it on our episode about the season as well, I felt like you were going to win.
Listen.
I was like, oh, you know, Bombay's going to win. You know, this is exciting. I loved your helium look. I thought you did so well in the first challenge, and we'll discuss many challenges later on. Like, you know, how was the whole experience for you?
So I think the experience for me was a dream come true. Like, I started doing drag like 3 years ago when they announced season one, and I was like, oh, this is cool, this will be fun. And then the fact that I got to go on was absolutely amazing. And I think the best part for me was to see how Drag Race works behind the scenes, because I would like, because we see it on TV and we're like, oh, this is how it happens, but then you actually see how it happens, and it's like you pull the curtain and you're like, whoa, you're all like, everyone here is an idiot, you know. So that was really, I think, my favorite part, just to like be on set. And like, I remember the producers were like, you're just having fun, aren't you? And I'm like, wouldn't you, like, if this was what you do and if this is what you wanted to do, like getting onto Drag Race, not that getting onto Drag Race is a goal that everyone should aspire to unless you want to be incredibly broke, but it was just like a really, it was like a dream come true for me, and I really like, I had so much fun.
Yeah, what was it like competing with Halal, like your drag mom?
It was stressful, because honestly, when we found out we were cast, I was like, they're going to make us lip sync. They have to, you know? And I was like, I don't want to lip sync against her, but I'm like, I'll do it. And we both we both knew that there were enough rumors around that, oh, all of Toronto thought only one of us was on. You know, because both of us were like going to wig makers and outfit makers. And I'd hear like people, I'd show up to people and be like, oh, but Halal doesn't wear this wig. And I'm like, but it's not for Halal. And that's how I knew, oh, is she on? What's going on? And then I asked Halal, I was like, hey, I have a few gigs later that I'd have to cancel. I'm like, but I'm going to India. Do you want to host them instead? And Halal was like, oh, I can't do that. I'm going to Egypt. And I was like, bitch. It's like, you,
I see you,
bitch.
I see.
Yeah, we were texting, and I was like, oh. So like, I kind of felt like, I also felt like Halal shouldn't have gone home when Halal went home, obviously.
I agree. I actually agree as well.
Because I was like, oh no, come on, we're supposed to fight and have this whole like tension and have fun and like be like family on a drag TV show, you know? Yeah. So I was nervous, but I was also excited for her and me to be on the show together, because who gets to do that?
I know, exactly. And I was so excited for Halal walking into that run room, work room, and just their viewpoint in drag is so unique, mm-hmm. and like their aesthetic, their humor, what they were representing. Yeah. I was like, I can't wait to get to know this queen over the next 10 weeks. Yeah. And then got home on a design challenge. And when you see somebody who's so talented, who just like, I know, and the badger wasn't even that bad. Anyway, that's a whole separate conversation.
Yeah.
Another episode. It was disappointing. But yeah, it was great to see the two of you in action. You know, I guess it's customary to ask, would you go back in the at some point?
I would go back in a heartbeat. I think I've had so much fun just being there. Like, you can't, like, it's hard to describe because you're like, holy shit, I'm on Drag Race. I remember there were times on the show when things weren't going well for me. And the producers were like, hey, Bomb, like, you know, you're not doing well. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not doing well on Drag Race. There are people not doing well at home. You know, like, I'm just so, like, I was so in awe of, like, the team and the crew and the other queens. I was like, this is just, let's just have fun. So, yeah, if they were to ask, I'd be like, I would play the game differently, but I would definitely go back.
Oh, how so? How would you play it?
I think I would care less about the rules. I think...
Okay, say more.
I think this time I was very like, you know, it's like, I was talking to someone about this, and I said, like, it's like the first time you do something, like let's say it's your first day on the job, you're like very, like, you're like, okay, I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to, like, make sure I follow all the rules. I'm going to be a good whatever. Yeah. And then if you're still doing that job 3 years later, you're like, whatever, I run this place. Maybe I'm like that. I don't know if everyone else, or I don't know if your listeners are like that, but I would be a lot more like, shut up, we're making TV. This doesn't have to be like a prison.
Sure.
You know, okay. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Okay, well, I look forward to it, whatever it is that in the near future. It could be, you know, Sweden versus the world in 2027, but whatever.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Sweden versus the world, right? Our first mini challenges, they throw you into an IKEA, and they're like, now, for a mini challenge.
There has to be Sweden starting soon. There has to be some sort of IKEA.
You have to. I'm sure IKEA Sweden has like something in the works already.
I could see someone making a dress by like gluing all those mini spanners onto like a bit of material, you know.
Yeah. It some queen's gonna come out in a gown full of meatballs and it's gonna like make a mess and the judges will eat her up.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, look, let's get into the latest episode of season 15.
All right.
How have you been finding this season so far? I guess the first US season since you were on the show. Are you now viewing it from like a, I kind of can see how it's all working and coming together?
No, because that takes away the magic of it all. It really, because you see these things. Also, at least this was the last episode that was edited so short. So you understand how things can get lost and it just ruins the magic for you. So when I watch Drag Race now, I try to like turn my contestant brain off because I'm like, let me just enjoy this as a viewer. Cause then you're thinking about, oh, this is what actually might have happened. And that's just, shut up. You don't know anything. Like no one except the queens and the cast and the crew really know what happened there. So everything else is just speculation.
Yeah, that's fair. I do also always sort of have a narrative in mind or try to see where what I'm being pushed towards. Like that's definitely something I'm sensitive to. But yeah, sometimes it does ruin the fun. And actually sometimes I find it if I'm listening to TV just with headphones on, rather than the TV, I can hear the breaks in the audio and it becomes a lot more like, oh my god, that was like five different sentences merged together. That's
what they do. And I maybe they should have sound produced it better, but like the fact that you can pick it up now is just like, I think the editors just like don't care. They're like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, you don't pick it up on the TV, but if you have like noise cancelling headphones and you know, you can definitely pick it up. It's probably not meant for that sound. Anyway, that's probably too much detail. Who are your favorites in season 15 so far?
This season, my favorites are Mistress. I love Mistress. I love Anitra. I love Sasha Colby. I think everyone, like, Sasha Colby's like universally loved now. But my favorites, going into the season, like, yeah, we're gonna like Sasha Colby because she's Sasha Colby, like she is that personality. But I was I was pleasantly surprised with like Mistress and Anitra. I think, yeah, those are my favorites this season because I'm like, oh, like I like what they do. I like how they're also Mistress is aware that there's a camera and she's like, she's on a TV show. And yes, it's a competition, but it's also a reality TV show, and she's giving them that, which is what I like. I'm like, yeah, you're playing the game.
Lucy LaDuca, how are we feeling?
I feel so bad for her, because I feel like she does well in the challenges, and every season the producers just have one person who they're using as a punching bag, because they know this person will give them, like, if pushed, this person will give them all the bites they need and, like, all the memes and stuff. And I feel like this time they pick Lucy, rightly so, she's giving them exactly what they wanted. I feel like they should just give her, like, a win, another one, like, just, like, stop edging her and just let her bust.
And normally we're into edging.
Oh, but always.
Like, this is too far.
Like the pool. Like I just. And this is why I hate. Like I don't like watching, because I come back. I'm like, can you imagine Lucy going back to her hotel room every night and being like, fuck, and just completely crashing that room, like ripping
the curtains off are the off wall. The wall.
Yeah. Like shitting in her bed, like fuck you, World of Wonder. You know, like, imagine that. It terrifies me.
Yeah, because we put up a little question box on our page during the week to see how people are reacting to her, and it was quite mixed. But I think somebody described it really well, which is that she's a really great queen. It's just maybe the competition is getting to her,
right?
And I think that's a fair assessment, because I think she is really talented. And there's always one who gets the I should have won edit, you know. So I remember Scarlett Bobo got a really, really bad one in her season. But I actually, and we'll get into this episode, I thought this should have been her second win, but
right?
I suppose we'll come back to it. She, outside the episode, seems annoyed that people have overlooked her mini challenge. Like, she said she's won three challenges.
Diva.
As someone who's won a mini challenge, would you count that as same as a maxi?
Okay, yes, because for like
yours actually was pretty substantial.
Yeah, like we
it was
had,
a pretty substantial.
Yeah, we
challenge.
Had like it was a legit challenge. Like it was like a runway. Basically, it was a runway.
Two runways, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah. It was spring, summer, or something like that.
Oh no, it was streetwear. It was just streetwear. It was just streetwear.
Oh, okay, all right.
So like, I mean, I wouldn't. I think it's lovely that she counts mini challenges as maxi challenge wins, because I mean, go off. Like, I mean, like, we love, like, also mini challenges differ. Like, if someone wins a reading challenge, we're like, oh, she won the reading challenge. She's funny. But if someone wins, like, do you remember that season of Drag Race where they had them playing golf with their crotch?
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't consider, if someone won that, I wouldn't consider that a maxi challenge win. So even like, mini challenges go from, they range, right? But I mean, if a queen wants to say that mini challenges are a win, by all means, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Did they win money? They don't win money for that, do they?
They have in the past. But like I actually meant to go back and count how many mini challenges we've seen Lucy win, because I don't even know if there has been too many challenges this season.
They got them
shortly edited.
Yeah, but at least in Canada, we won money for the mini challenges. So I was like, you know, there was one time when, who was it? Was it Mosu? Or someone was like, oh, no, it wasn't Mosu, because she left soon. Maybe it was Chaos or Irma. And they were like, yeah, but at least, like, you know, like, at least the ones who won mini challenges won money at the end of it, you know? And I was like, yeah, that's true. So, yeah.
There was definitely some other queen who was counting mini challenges as, like, legitimate, you know, tallies on the board. And I just think, no, it's never a good look.
Yeah.
Unless it is a reading challenge, unless it is something substantial.
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, so this week's challenge is basically interviews in the style of 2020, this time called 50-50. Marsha and Sasha get paired up with Charo, Anitra, Lucy and Malaysia get paired up with Frankie Grande, and Mistress Selena and Lux get paired up with Love, Connie. Did you know that Frankie Grande was, quote, amazing at social media? I thought of all the things to describe him of. And he's amazing
at social media. It's like, that is, it's like, have you seen that? That was like a Bachelor contestant or something, and his tagline was former child.
Well, actually, I think the meme. Yeah. I think I've seen the meme, actually.
That's what it reminds me of. Like, yeah, amazing at social media. Like, what is... Also, I had no idea Frankie Grande was 40.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right,
because Ariana Grande's more or less the same age as me, and I'm 30. So yeah. I think she's like 31 or maybe 29 or something. I know that they're step siblings, but 40, I didn't know there was that big of a gap.
Yeah, like when I saw, there was like a picture that went out, I was like, oh, Frankie's 40. And I was like, what? Looks great. I mean, he looks great for some.
Looks great. 100%. Yeah. It's just funny. Like, I'm sure there are people who are very good at social media. Like, I'm definitely somebody who's not very good at social media. But, like,
what is?
I don't know. There's just so many things you describe him as, like reality TV star, you know, like, famous brother, dancer, not YouTube personality, not amazing at social media.
Yeah, like there's so much you can say, and I feel like it's almost like a read at that point where you're like, this person's good at posting pictures. And like, okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
He's amazing at like hoovering the stairs. Yeah, like it's just like really.
Also, when like the other people are Charo and all, like those are credentials, and I'm sure Frankie also has some. They just choose to highlight the weird ones.
Who of those three would you have wanted to interview the most?
Charo. Just to like, I would go off the rails. I would like match her energy and be like, "Oh, you're crazy, bitch! Let me show you crazy." And it would just—I mean, I might not have won the challenge, but I would have had the most fun because, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think Frankie Grande, I felt, was the easiest interview. Like, as somebody who does live interviews, because Love Connie was. She was there to get her own schlock in, and she didn't care what you asked her, whatnot. Right? She was answering her own questions.
Yeah, like that's the thing when you're competing with the person you interview for, like, space, that becomes, like, uncomfortable because you're like, oh, God, like, I'm interviewing you, calm down, like, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Let's discuss the queens who did interview Love Connie. So it was Mistress Selena, and look, Selena was up first. She got the little sit-down interview with her, and, like, I think what you said there is kind of a good point. Like, I think Selena was kind of doing the right thing from an interviewer point of view, was just letting them talk and then just, like, kind of guiding them towards the anecdotes that they want. It was like, I think she just seemed to get marked down because her face wasn't...
As
like,
animated.
Her face looked confused. Yeah.
Like, because I feel like when we were looking at her, she was waiting for Love Connie to finish speaking. Like, she was just like, I'm just going to zone out while you give me the answer and then jump back in. And like, I felt like, yeah, like you ask your questions, but you also have to like respond to what they're saying in that moment without just, otherwise it's just like, hi, what's your name? Great. What do you do for a living? Love that. You know, it gets very robotic. I felt like that's, it could have like, she could have just reacted more instead of just sitting there like, oh, cool. I'll just wait, and you're gonna finish in 5, 4, 3. My next question, you know, that's what I felt. Like.
Tell me about the prosthetic leg. Like, what are you? What a pivot that was.
Where do you keep it at night? Like,
had nothing to do with what came before it. Lux got to take Love Connie on a golf cart. This was honestly like a parody of Speed. This is so strange.
And I don't know how they were allotted these interview segments. Like, they're like, oh, you sit down. This one, we're giving her a golf cart. You know?
Yeah.
Sick. Sure, pop off. That was so much fun. Like, I think that was also physically, like, fun to do and fun to watch as a viewer, because you're like, are you gonna interview each other on golf cart? What? You know, you automatically like, you know, this is something that you haven't seen before. So yeah,
it reminded me, and I'm not sure you'll get this reference, because there's a famous Irish British comedy from the 90s called Father Ted.
Yes.
Oh, you do know Father? Do you know the episode where they have to deliver milk in a milk van, but there ends up being something like the accelerator breaks and they just keep accelerating and they have to keep driving around in circles, like that scene? So that's very what that scene was giving me. So it was strange, but Lux kind of just leant into it, and she seemed like, do we think she asked, was two questions maybe in total? But she seemed to be having fun.
Yeah, because like, you're physically in that space where you're like, we're interviewing each other while driving a golf cart. Like, let's just, you're not going to ask someone about like what their thoughts are about inflation while you're doing that, right? It's just going to be a fun interview from the get.
Yeah, tell me about your childhood. Yeah, while you're on a golf cart. Yeah, not great. And then Mistress gets to take Love Connie into the kitchen and they ice buns together. I'm not overly aware of Love Connie's work, because that's something that's a thread through her exercise regimes. There was lots of poo jokes, and Mistress seemed to stumble the ball, which was very out of character for her.
Yeah, like, I also, like, If I was in her place and I'm like, okay, this is like a cooking segment. Like think of like Martha Stewart and you're just like cooking or whatever. Like you could have done so much with it. You could have really like, I know they leaned a lot on the poo jokes, and Drag Race has this thing where sometimes they love it, sometimes they hate it. You know, sometimes Michelle Visage is like, oh, that was a fart joke, Rock'em Sock'em, you're on the bottom. The next season
Yeah,
we have a
Rock'em Sock'em is what I always think
right?
of, and
And then
then
the
there's
next
some other
season,
joke and
there's
she
a
eats it
whole
up.
challenge dedicated where someone just farts, and it's like, make up your mind. What? I feel like she did. I feel like for this interview where they were like, oh, talking and cooking, I think the goal, and maybe they mentioned this to the girls because they do like they list all the rules and the judging criteria beforehand. I think they could have been more explicit, but like, just make it a memorable interview. You know, that's all. This is no one cares if Lux crashes the car, you know, or like, you know, whatever. Just like honestly, you could have even left the buns and just spoke to each other. Like, yeah, fuck these buns. We don't need buns. You know, just you could have, and then just concentrated on the person at hand or whatever.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting dynamic between how Mistress dealt with Connie in the kitchen compared to how Sasha dealt with Charo in the kitchen, which was Sasha just leant into the craziness and was like, right, I'm following your vibe, whereas Mistress kept trying to
Get
get
it,
a
but
hold on it.
yeah, like go
Yeah.
wild, fuck it up. It'll make good TV.
Yeah. How many of Charo's sentences could you understand?
None. I watched it at a bar, and it was like noisy as it is, and they had subs, and without the subs, I'd be like, what is that woman saying? Am I being what's going on? And and maybe in person, it comes off differently where you can actually understand her, but like I would like if I were interviewing her and if it was like that in person, I'd be like, okay. That's what she said. That's what she said. That's what she's saying. That's what she will say. I would just
The only thing I understood was when Marsha asked her, how old are you? And she was like, that's a damn fine question. I'm as old as Chris. I came to America with Christopher
Columbus.
Columbus. That's all I
Right. And you're
understood.
like, thank you for that insightful answer. That's why I would love to interview Charo, because even if you don't understand anything, you're still gonna have fun. Like you're just like vibing with her. She's on this, I don't know, maybe she has like five Red Bulls, she just chugs them before. But every time she's been on the show, she's been such a firework of a person.
Yeah, it's a real I want what she's having, vibe. She's on one. And that's kind of what I want from Shakira in her 60s, 70s, or old Charo's. I want that sort of senile Latina
Has nothing to
vibe.
lose. She's got it all. Fuck everyone.
But instead of the coochie coochie, she's still doing the waka waka, and she's just like.
She's doing the letter from
Exactly. So that's what I hope for Shakira. And then finally the final batch of interviews were with Frankie Grande. Anitra was no, Lucy was the first with a sit down interview, I think. And this actually felt like I felt I could actually watch Have a Nice
Yeah,
Dance.
like that felt like a well thought out. Like this is how you know Lucy is a great host. Like she like if she connects with you, she's very disarming. I feel like she's like, oh yeah, like I'm a human being, you're a human being. Let's have a lovely civil conversation. You know, that's what it felt like, and like that's why I felt she should have won because it felt like this is she was so it came to her so easily, or at least she made it seem so effortless. I was like, yeah, this is so natural. Like no one's going, like you're just doing your job and you're doing it very well. No.
Yeah, exactly. And like meeting Frankie at their level and like looked maybe too like they were listening to almost too hard, like very lots of wide-eyed nodding whenever they were speaking. But like, yeah, and I think they wouldn't be afraid to ask like difficult questions. I didn't really fully understand. So it was kind of made out that Frankie had a near-death experience, but it was just a spider bite.
I mean, hey. Spiders can kill people.
Yes. So I thought that's where it was going, and then it just seems to be a swollen leg.
Like, oh, Frankie. I feel like for very good at social media, Frankie Grande, they needed to come up with something like something substantial. I'm like, you could have asked Frankie about like how to like reality TV and this, but then they might have to like The thing is, there's so many like copyright and licensing issues. Like you can't name certain TV shows and you can't name brands. So I guess the next best thing was a pretty like vague spider bite.
And then it was just like, I came back, the CDC gave me like a potion, and then I was done. And then it was like, right, well, let's move on then. I was like, no, talk to me about this potion.
Yeah, like there wasn't like a wizard under a bridge who was handing out tiny bottles, being like, "Only drink 3 drops, Frankie." And Frankie just does the whole thing, you know?
And why didn't that end up on your social media? I
Yeah.
mean, come on.
Hi guys, today I'm going to cure my spider bite. You know, and then
Yeah,
show the
with a
potion like that to
potion.
the camera, like.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the US having a big trouble with anti-vax at the moment, so we're going to push potions.
Homemade, homegrown, home dev.
So yeah, that's and I think they make a po RuPaul makes a point of basically kind of saying the only thing you did wrong, Lucy, was not follow up on, I think, was the potion. But yeah, and I guess I agree, but I still think she did a really good
Yeah.
job. Anitra's segment was very short, and it was kind of all they kind of did was just show her ask Frankie about getting married again, and then they kind of like stretched or
Yeah.
power walked or something, and that was it. And Frankie Grant was like, yeah, I got my steps, and they moved on. So I don't know, I kind of felt that was maybe kind of just showing us the best parts and moving on
Yeah.
because Anitra was going to be
I think
safe.
like so in the edit when like anyway your episodes are so short, they only want to show you the best and the worst. Everyone who kind of like is safe already, the editors are like, okay, this is not like there's no we don't have to justify her being safe. We just like make sure her doing decent and we're good, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Are you a fan of getting your steps every day?
No. Do you know people who say, I want to go, like, do you want to go on a date? We can go on a walk or a hike. I'm like, you can walk the fuck away from me. I'm not a steps person. I'm not a hike person. There's nothing about, and they're like, oh yeah, you can like the view is great at the top of a mountain. I'm like, send me the photo. Tell me how it was. I don't have to do this. I do not.
I am a bit. I do enjoy a hike now, I must say.
As a date activity?
Not
Not
for a
me,
first
like
date.
right,
Not for a
you
first
could get
date.
murdered.
It's a long time to commit to
Yeah,
being with somebody you don't
what if you don't
know.
like them and then you're like, I guess you have to walk up and walk down, you
Yeah,
know.
are you allowed to just turn around halfway through and just descend again?
Yeah,
You know, I'm out.
goodbye. And that's the only time you see me run away, like just like.
Yeah. No, the reason why, my friend has not missed his 10,000 steps in over 2 years.
What are you walking away from? Let's talk about that, Mona. What's making you do this? Like 10,000 steps a day?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, his calves must be like wild.
But I think it gets to the point where you're afraid to like miss it. You know, you've committed this far, one day I'll miss out.
Oh God.
I'm not
What
like
a
that now, but
travesty that would be.
whenever I think of somebody getting their 10,000 steps, I immediately think of him because that's something that I would do. I'm just not doing it. Like, I'm a real completionist, so I'm worried I'll get stuck into that trap one day.
Yeah, no, I'll help you. I will personally call you up and be like, no, just take the bus. Where does 10,000 steps get you? I wouldn't even.
Apparently, it's not even a real thing. Apparently, it's part of a Japanese marketing thing for some device in the past. 10,000 steps
Aha!
is really arbitrary, and
Damn,
how many steps you
Connor.
need totally depends on you and your BMI and your you know where you are and your fitness and stuff like that.
Connor,
So,
wake up, take the blue pill, get out of the matrix.
yeah, wake up, don't walk, take a
Yeah,
potion, you know, it'll be
there we
fine.
go. Wow. 10,000 steps a day. I would like if someone told me that, I'd be very impressed, intimidated, and also terrified.
Okay, but not attracted, not turned on.
Well, who says who I never said that? A culmination of all three have me in a chokehold.
Well, you went straight for the calves, so maybe you would be
Yeah.
interested.
I used to be a swimmer, so when I see someone's calves or like muscles, I'm like, oh, like you do intense. But I guess walking is not. Oh, you know what he should do? He should do those walking races. That's what I love to see. You know those.
Yeah, those arms going wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are fun. I think he just runs. Anyway, let's bet him. He's got more airtime than Anitra in this episode. finally was Malaysia. She was in the kitchen with Frankie making sausage, I think it was. And to be honest, she was like, she was a passenger for this interview.
Yeah.
Frankie was doing all that heavy lifting.
Also, like if you're making sausages with a very famous, very like...
amazing at social media.
Social media gay man in the kitchen. Just go for it. Like, there's no need for you to be quiet. Just be like, well, you're making sausages on Drag Race. Like, you know...
And pizza as well, wasn't it? There was pizza too.
I would have just like flung the pizza. I'm like, we don't have to concentrate on that. We're not wasting time with pizza. We're just here for sausages, and that's what we're gonna stick with.
Smack the sausage on your face.
Exactly.
Do all the classics.
Remember that challenge where Sasha Velour and Shea Coulee were doing chocolates and broccoli?
Yes. Yes.
Stupid. And they were also, I guess, they were TV presenters, I guess, in that challenge. Like, just make it stupid. Make it fun to watch. Make it silly. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Well, I guess they have to kind of interview as well. But yeah, you kind of just ask him about what Frankie eats.
Yeah.
How does he stay so youthful at 40? You know, other than the doctor.
What kind of sausage is Frankie's favorite sausage? Like German, Italian, American, vegan. Like, you know, possibilities are endless.
Come on, Malaysia, get your shit together. Who did the best of the maxi challenge?
In my mind, I would say Lucy.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, yeah, I would have to say Lucy did the best.
Ooh. But I'd say the camera loves Sasha.
Yeah.
I would say too. Yeah, I'd happily see the two of them. Like, I guess they're two different interviews. Like, I think Lucy would be good at the proper Barbara Waters, you know, Whitney Houston at the peak of her fame could have interviewed, whereas I feel Sasha would be better for kind of like late night, you know,
sit down,
bit of fun, karaoke, that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Runway was a night of 1,000 Beyoncés.
Thousand Beyoncé looks that no one remembers.
Well, I was going to ask, what Beyoncé look would you do?
Okay, so even for Canada's Drag Race, there are, at least Canadian TV is so strict about what you can do and what you can't do. Like when you tell them like, hey, I want, like when you say I want to do this look, they're like, you can't do an exact replica. And I'm like, that's testament to the designer. If a designer can do an exact, like, that's drag. We borrow all the time. And yes, you should add your own element to it. But when it's Night of 1,000 Beyoncés, you're literally asking us to do a Beyoncé look. Right? So you can only do images that are in the public domain. You can't do music videos. You can't do, like, specific TV appearances. You can't do, like... So all the iconic looks, like, everyone's like, why didn't anyone do Crazy in Love? Because they would get sued. They just wouldn't be able to air it. You have to do red carpet appearances. You have to do like weird TV interviews. A lot of the Getty images were given as references. So you have to pick obscure things that somehow still made it. Like you couldn't even do the Met Gala look.
Right. Okay. Well, what's your answer if those rules didn't apply? And what's your answer if those rules do apply?
Okay. If those rules do apply, if I was given Night of 1,000 Beyoncés, I would do Beyoncé announcing that she was pregnant the second time. But Shangela already did that.
Yeah, I was thinking I did think that would appear once, at least. I know Candy Muse did a similar version, but I thought we'd get one lemonade, or at least one of them with a baseball bat in some way that said some pun on it.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting confused.
I know what I would have done. What I would have done? I would have done the moment where Beyoncé gets her hair stuck in a fan. And just walk around with a fan in my wig.
There we go. Perfect.
Boom. Done.
Hey guys, Tom Moran here. I am the host of Personality Bingo, a podcast where we put 60 minutes on the clock. We've got a bingo machine with 60 balls in it. Here you go. And we've got 60 corresponding questions. The questions can be anything from, have you ever seen a ghost? To, what's the most important quality for you in a romantic partner? To, have you ever or would you ever consider seeing a fortune teller? In season 2 of Personality Bingo, we've got episodes with Brezzy. We've got Emma Kerwin. We've got Justine Stafford. If you want to go back into the archives, we've got 130 episodes there, including episodes with Paul Mescal. That's Personality Bingo with me, Tom Moore.
Okay, so Night of 1,000 Beyoncés. First up was Lux Noir London. She gave us the 2006 Kennedy Center. honors when Beyonce honored Tina Turner in an original Bob Mackie dress that turns out RuPaul had worn. This is obviously an amazing dress. I just think it's a weird choice to choose a look for Beyonce when Beyonce is wearing a look for somebody else.
Yeah, so it's like a cover of a cover, you know, like what songs you hear. I think she looks like, it looks great, but like it's not Beyonce. Like like you said, it's not quintessential Beyonce, because Beyonce was paying tribute. I think Lux is such a smart queen. Like, she talks about a lot of her choices on Twitter, and like Lux, I feel like this was like, hi RuPaul, give me the crown. You worn this, I'm wearing this. Thank you for $100,000 or $200,000.
It's clever. It's like, you know, she knows that Rue loves Bob Mackie. So, you know, she wears a Bob Mackie with a Beyonce wear. It's something she looks great in. It's a very, like, it's a very good replica.
Yeah.
I guess it's a bit, it's relying on the body, maybe a tiny bit, but I still like it.
Yeah. It's not my favorite, but it's there.
One of my favorites is up next, is Mistress at the 2001 Grammy Awards with Michelle and Kelly as conjoined puppets on her shoulder.
So stupid.
This is brilliant.
So good. So camp. Like, she should do, like, this is an outfit she can tour in and people will pay money. Like, tips will just come to her. Like, this is so smart to do that. Like, it's again, it's a very iconic look. Like, people know these three, and yeah. When she came up, like, the bar just started laughing and they just erupted with her, because it's just so smart, but so stupid. And it gets the message across like this, like, oh.
And it's campy and it's comedy, but it doesn't compromise on the fashion.
No,
she
not
looks
at
amazing.
All. Oh, like, it gets the message across, like, no notes.
I don't know if you've seen the clip that was going around this week or the week before of Destiny's Child at the Brit Awards in, like, maybe
someone asked them about, like, animals, right?
Yeah, the foot and mouth disease.
The foot and mouth,
like,
cows.
And then Kelly wrote, it's like, people need to be doing stuff about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's what,
so
Beyonce
that was
doesn't
in my
do
mind.
Interviews anymore, because you asked her about that and she's like, fuck all of y'all.
Vacant smile on her face. Yeah. So that's what was in my head when I saw this look come out from Mistress.
So
yeah,
good.
So I absolutely loved
and
it.
And she's got like tiny Oscars in her hands, which I think is a good touch.
Oh,
but
you're right. Yeah.
Grammys?
I guess they must have won 2 Grammys or something that year. Yeah, that's true. Because next up is Selena, who also does a Grammy Awards look from 2004. And she
and all
brings
Grammys
out
a RuPaul shaped.
Yeah, mini busts of RuPaul, which I think is really clever. I actually think this is the best Selena has looked
on
the runway.
On the runway.
Yeah, I think the hair is amazing. The beat's amazing. I think the fit of the dress is really brilliant.
Yeah,
I really like this from her.
Yeah, like the jewelry, like it's not. I like that the Grammys definitely add a touch and it brings it to Beyonce, because that was an image where we like immediately click and like, oh yeah, it's Beyonce. Yeah, because without the Grammys, it would be like, what?
Yeah.
What's going
it
on?
It would be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, because, yeah, I mean, Beyonce does wear dresses like that, but I guess it's, yeah, you do need that element of the prop to break through, but she looks great anyway. Sasha then gave us the 2006 BET Awards, as Sasha said, in her Deja Vu era, this, like, metallic-y, frosty silver bra and dress combo with sort of like silver lace up the leg and the chest. Love.
And she also sold the shit out of this outfit. Like, she had that video in her hotel room practicing every single pose, and she like boom boom boom. Like, someone compared like the end pose of hers to Beyonce and it was like exactly the same. Like, she did her homework. She knew what she was doing.
I kind of wish they just made her lip sync just for the crack. They were like, this looks so good. Let's stick
it
on Deja Vu and just do it.
Hit it. And
it'd be worth the 10 grand they have to pay for that sample or whatever.
Yeah. And like, they do the runways twice. And one is to the music. And the second one is into Absolute Silence. I would kill to see Sasha Colby, the cut of her just doing this whole thing to Absolute Silence. You can just hear her footsteps go clack, 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 clack.
Now, I can't remember the reference picture as well. Was the hair right? The hair
doesn't
look
that... Yeah, the hair was right. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
It doesn't look that Beyonce. Okay, cool. Marsha was up next. This was, and again, this kind of makes sense because she chose the title X Brooklyn charity event. Now, to be fair, when I googled Beyonce looks, this one came up because it was kind of her first public appearance after turning 40. It's in this kind of like emerald velvet gown with a purple stole, but the colors were slightly off for both the dress and the stole.
I think it must have been also extra challenging. Like, I think as a non-black performer, when you're told Night of a Thousand Beyoncés, like, you want to do some of her iconic looks, but they might not just translate as well, you know, with her hair and, like, specifically if there's certain outfit choices. So you have to, like, be very careful. And I think she was just trying to play it very, very safe. Like, I don't... And maybe it's just this picture, but I don't... If you showed me this picture and you said, who is she referencing, I would not get it. Like, every other single person I know, okay, yes, I see, like, you know, I just don't think this, the original reference was as, like, visually iconic as, you know, as she could have. Yeah.
And I guess it's the way she holds the stole as well, kind of just makes it look like an old woman and her cardigan. You know, if Beyonce's wearing this when she's 40, Marsha makes it look like she's wearing that when she's 60.
Yeah, it's the presentation seems very matron-like.
Yes, exactly. And I think Marsha knew that her look wasn't the best either, because I think she says it in Untucked. So,
favorite. When all the girls are getting ready at, like, you know, in the workroom, you kind of like just look around the room and you're like, oh, I'm fucked. You know, like, that moment happens every single episode, every night in Canada as well. Like, we get ready and they line us up, and you just take a look. You're like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, this is fun. There's always someone who's sulking, like, fuck all of you.
Anitra was up next. She did the look from the On the Run tour, which is a gold, is it like a max, not a maxi, what would you call that? A cut, like a mid thigh cut.
Bodycon dress that kind of.
Yeah, that stops at the upper thigh but continues on all the way down the arms and has a heart at the chest.
I hate the shoes.
I was going to say the shoes. The shoes are like what? Like a black boot?
Yeah, it's like an afterthought.
A long purple billowing cape with like a nice golden trim around the edge.
Yeah,
I actually didn't notice the shoes until I'm looking at this picture.
Like, I guess maybe, like, you know, it was like a last minute thing or whatever, but jeez.
Not great. Not great. I couldn't see Beyonce in those shoes.
Yeah.
Malaysia then gave us the 2018 Global Citizen Festival.
Yeah.
Which is this black and white kind of tribally print shirt with a kind of black velvet skirt that has kind of like white paint.
I mean, that is literally painted on, and it looks like she did it fairly recently. Like, the paint section, she was like, yeah, you know what? Beep, 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 beep. We're done. Let's go. Ready.
It looks good, though, kind of, because it kind of looks like it's painted at the seams where it folds, whatever. Like, so I think it's done quite well. There's like black and white. Are they feathers? Up the arms, and then black latex, thigh high boots, and then a kind of half up, half down.
Like, this is what you would see, like, if a bar was doing, like, Beyonce night. This is what you would see. 100. Like, this is a drag queen doing Beyonce. It meets the criteria.
Yeah. Like, I love Black is King. Like, I love, you know, the whole thing, the concept, the music, the fashion, the cultural references throughout it. I don't know if I remember this one from it, because I think she kind of mentions Black. Or I don't know, maybe that was just a pun that she made, but she did say Black and Queen is King on the runway. So I kind of feel if she was leaning into like an African diaspora look, I would have liked her to go even bigger, because now she has the big gold necklace and everything on it. So yeah, it was okay. I didn't love it.
Yeah, middle of the pack.
Yeah. And then finally, Lucy LaDuca, Beyonce announcing her pregnancy for the first time at the VMAs. The only gripe I have here is I think the original blazer was purple, not pink.
Yeah, it was a different shade. And like, okay, you're doing Beyonce announcing her pregnancy. It is a good recreation, except for the color. I would say, like, go bigger on the bump.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like, you're on Drag Race. There's no point playing it, being subtle or, like, you know, be exaggerated. Look what Mistress did. Like, you know, don't be afraid if, like, Like, be extra. You're on TV. You're on Drag Race. Like, I just like, oh, I kept thinking something was gonna pop out, like a reveal or something. And I'm like, oh, that's it. Okay, great.
Yeah, have a microphone in your hand, because she just came. Like, she was in the middle of performing Love on Top. Oh, yeah. The bump was bigger, and then pop out a little baby between the legs and have the baby painted blue.
Yeah. Or if you want to do Beyonce's pregnancy, do when she was in Oprah, and the whole internet was like, oh, her bump deflated. Like, have a balloon and, like, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, if you want to do pregnancy rumors.
Yeah, you want to do pregnancy rumors or first pregnancy, but the internet was obsessed with, like, oh, she's not pregnant. Do that, like, bend over and just have the balloon go alien. Like, what?
Yes. You know? Exactly. So we could want more from Lucy. So Marsha and Anitra were safe. Lux, Sasha, and Lucy were in the top, which meant Malaysia? Yeah, Mistress, yeah. And Selena were low. When I first heard Lux was high, I was like, oh, really? And then I had a look down the rest of the line, and I was like, oh, no, okay,
yeah.
No, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. I personally probably would have put Marsha in the bottom over Selena, because I think Marsha kind of really looked like she was out of her depth in that interview, yeah, just as much as Selena, and I thought Selena's runway was better.
It was way better, yeah. I think all. How many times has Selena lip synced this season already?
This episode is her third.
Okay. Jeez. Like, yeah, I would have put Marsha on the bottom as well, because I'm like, this is. It's like everyone has been dying for a night of 1,000 Beyoncés. Like, come on. Like, give us something better. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe they wanted Selena to beat Malaysia in the lip sync, but actually Marsha could have probably beat her in the lip sync as well.
Maybe, yeah. Like, Marsha's a great lip syncer. And I think Single Ladies isn't everyone's, like, it's a fun song to watch. It's a fun song to dance to, but it's not that easy to do well. Like, it's like, you have to, like, either you know the choreography or you know the moments of the video that everyone recognizes, or you don't.
You can't make it schlocky, you can't make it comedy, no, you just have to give the video.
Yeah.
So Sasha wins, Lucy's face cracks and shatters into a million pieces.
Oh, don't blame her. Because when they...
To be honest, I get it. I thought she was going to win as well. And, like, even in Untucked, Marsha's like, God forbid if Lucy comes back here and hasn't won. So, like, I kind of thought it would have made it maybe slightly more interesting the season, because now Sasha has 3 wins.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone else is on one or none. Whereas at least it would have been Sasha and Lucy with 2 each. It kind of would have given them a more kind of competition throughout the season.
Ugh. Yeah, like, Lucy probably, like, stepped off that stage and grabbed, like, a stagehand and just rammed them into the wall. Like, give me a win. Who do I need to fuck to win around?
Sitting there, 2 stress balls in the hand, cigarettes in her mouth.
Oh, yeah. Poor
thing. So, yeah, and that is the end of the episode. We are into 90-minute or 60-minute episodes from next week, when there's only 7 of them left. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah.
They must hate it. The 7 of them who left were like, oh, now you're doing 60-minute episodes?
Yeah. Who's going to win?
The season?
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, it could be... I would love to see Mistress win. I know it's between her and... Like, it's her... I think it's between her and Sasha. And if they do, like, a final, like, you know, the way they do lip sync for the crown, it's Sasha's to take. She would really have to, like, drop the ball on that one to, like, not, you know, win. But I would love to see Mistress. Well, because, like, yeah, in my mind, it's like she's more injured. And maybe this is the fault of the show. When the show, every episode, makes sure to hype up Sasha, because you're like, yes, we get it. She's amazing, you know? Whereas someone like Mistress, who we didn't know much of, it's more enduring. Then we're like, wow, this is someone who, like, we're not told to fall in love with her, we just fall in love with her.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, we love as an audience those moments like Sasha Velour, when it's like, oh, we don't think they're going to win, but they do this thing and it proves to us that this underdog can win. Like, Sasha's brilliant and I love her, but she has not been the underdog. She has been the front runner for the whole season. Everyone I've asked on this has said Sasha's going to win. And I, although it would be great to see her win, there will be an element of me which is, like, not surprised.
Yeah, we saw it coming. Like, if Mistress wins, is like, oh my God, like, yes. Like, we love to root for an underdog.
Yeah. However, Mistress would be better back on an All-Stars,
I think, than
Sasha. So, you know, she manages to play the line of, you know, villain in quotation marks and fan favorite at the same time, which is difficult
right?
to do.
Yeah. Like, she's giving them just enough to be like, hi, like, you know, we want to stand her, and she's giving us the drama.
Yeah.
But she keeps it real, which is what I like as well.
Definitely. Like, even the bit about Sasha thinking that Sasha Fierce might be named after
inspired
her.
Like, please, Diva. Diva.
Delusion. Bombay, it was so lovely to chat to you today. Do you have anything coming up that people in Ireland or the UK can get involved in? I know we do have listeners in Canada, but I guess the majority of them are in Ireland or the UK.
I'm not touring Europe anytime soon, which sucks. But no, you can just like make sure you follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm quite the mess on Twitter, so that's where you get the real me.
One day you will be amazing at social media, just like Frankie Grande.
Yeah, one day I hope to be 40 and amazing at social media. Honestly, if that's what the hue is, if I come back on All Stars and say Bombay amazing at social media, shoot me. you have this. Let this podcast serve as evidence in a court of law.
Yeah, I will. Back. I'll be clipping it up and I'll be there. I'll be waving it.
Just and make sure you shoot me in the head. Just make sure it's painless and instant.
Loved speaking to Bombay. Thank you so much for listening. That was such a fun episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. We'll be back next week. Aaron will be back. And if all things go to plan, we should have another Drag Race alum on the show. So you can look forward to that. Other than that, head over to our Instagram at sissythatpod. Let us know your thoughts on the episode. We'll hopefully be putting up another question box throughout the week to get your thoughts on this season. And if you're curious on some of my thoughts on the international franchises, you can head over to headstuffpodcast.com. We've got episodes brewing up about some of the international series that are kicking off, such as Belgium and Spain and stuff like that, so that's the place to be for that. Other than that, have a lovely week. I'll see you, love you, bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.